Blog Talk Radio.
All right, so we are here with another episode of the Before You Go Pro Locker Room. This is Coach Wood, and as always, super pumped up to come talk to you guys. Once again, Before You Go Pro is a company that is geared towards young aspiring football players between the ages of 13 through 19. So it's a very competitive sport. It's definitely a big-time business, and Before You Go Pro feels that kids should be groomed and trained for the business so that they can succeed. So once again, glad to have you guys tune in tonight. I know that there's football on TV and a bunch of other things going on, but you guys have chosen to invest the time in yourselves, you young athletes. You parents on the line, you guys have chosen to invest your time in yourselves and getting yourselves better, so we appreciate that. We have an amazing show tonight. As you guys know, we do two locker room shows per week. We do one on Tuesday and one on Thursday, and the whole intention is to help players with the journey of becoming eventual college football players, whether that's at the Division I level, Division II level, or Division III level, or even NAIA. One of our shows is always a teaching point, but the other show, and that's what we're doing tonight, is an actual interview. An interview with a player or a coach, current or former, somebody who has been there and done that, somebody who is either right in the midst of their football journey or somebody that has just gotten out of their football journey and would love to give back and pay it forward and help train some of the aspiring athletes. So tonight's show, we have a young man by the name of Charles Tharp coming on to our show, and he's coming on into the locker room, and this one is very, very special in particular because this is somebody who used to actually be an opponent, you know, and I know that sometimes, especially for you guys that got bitter rivals, when you have an opponent, you can't ever picture being friends with the guy one day, but as you well know, football is a game of respect. And whether it's a teammate, a coach, or an opponent, you gain your respect on the gridiron. And this guy, Charles Tharp, is somebody who definitely garnered a lot of respect on the gridiron. He has an amazing story. He's somebody that has seen the highs and lows of the business of football. And he definitely wants to share his testimony with you guys. Hopefully you guys will be able to pull something out of it. Hopefully you guys will be able to see things in his journey that maybe are already going on in your journey, and you can learn some valuable nuggets of advice from him on how you should deal with it. Some of you guys may come across things later on in your journey, whether it's in college or professionally, and you'll remember one of the guests that we had in the Before You Go Pro locker room, and hopefully that can help you out. As we're waiting for Mr. Tharp, I also want to let you guys know that we will be releasing our new website soon. So currently, Before You Go Pro has a website, but it's more geared towards our book, our first book coming out. But soon we will be releasing a website within the next few days that will highlight our online mentorship and our online coaching. I see that Mr. Charles Tharp is trying to call in now, so let's see if we can patch him up. Hey, Charles, we got you on the line?
Yeah, what's going on, Terry?
What's going on, man? So basically, you know, first and foremost, dude, I appreciate you taking the time. You guys, this is somebody that just recently had a baby girl, right?
Yeah, you might hear as we talk, she's currently sleeping on my chest.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we want to let you get back to her, man, so I appreciate you. I know you're doing the brand new daddy duties, and everybody appreciates you giving us a call, man, so we'll get right to it. I was letting the kids know that, you know, it's interesting that when you're playing against somebody, when you're in the thick of the battle, you never imagine becoming friends with them, you know, with an opponent. But I said that everybody gets their respect on the gridiron, on the football field, and whether it's a teammate or an opponent, you know, you can't help but respect guys that played the right way and played hard. So much kudos to you, man. I know we haven't had a chance to talk amongst the years, but you were definitely somebody that I enjoyed playing against and somebody that I looked at as somebody I knew I had to step my game up for, because you were going to bring it 110%. You were legit, even in other sports, and we'll talk about that a little later. But much kudos to you, man. I know the career is over, but out of all my years, whether high school, college, or professionally, you were one of the best.
I appreciate that, man.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. So let's get into it, man. We've got a bunch of kids, and we also have some family and friends on the line, on the radio show, too. But we have, you know, even parents that want to hear from guys who have been there and done that, guys that, you know, you can get some advice from, guys that you can learn something from. So that's why we brought you in here tonight, and I want to get right to it. So for all the kids that don't know, where did you grow up? Where did you play your little league football?
I actually grew up in East Palo Alto. For those, if any of the kids are from the Bay Area, they've heard of that city, and you know that it's been mentioned on par with some of the tougher cities in the Bay Area, you know, with the Oaklands and the Richmonds and all that stuff, and at some points could be considered a little worse because it's smaller. So, you know, it tends to impact a lot more people. But I was fortunate enough to play my little league ball in a nearby city, Redwood City, California. And I chose to play there because coming up, you know, watching my uncle play, that's who he played for, you know, and he had a big part in teaching me and helping me become the player that I became, and teaching me the toughness it took, and you know, everything from getting out in the yard or in the street and throwing me bullets and making me catch them. That's what, you know, made my hands so good, you know. I always grew up playing with the older kids. You know, we used to play street against street. So the kids from two blocks over would come over, you know, and I was always one of the younger cats, but I would be out there with the big boys, you know, playing with them.
Getting after.
So, right. So, you know, that's kind of what groomed me to, you know, have the mentality and work ethic and everything that I had starting off from a young age.
Wow. So, you know, EPA, East Palo Alto, as you said, you know, that's not Disneyland. That's not the easiest area to come from. What was it when you had so many other temptations that could have maybe pulled you away from football? What was it that kind of kept you going and kept you focused?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things. You know, first and foremost, family, you know, helping me understand that, you know, I had a gift and, you know, kind of pushing me towards that gift early, getting me involved in different sports and keeping me busy, you know. And secondly, you know, the guys that I chose to surround myself with, you know, I have a group of friends that I've been friends with. I met them about when I was 7 or 8, when I first started playing recreational sports. And those guys are still my best friends to this day. Matter of fact, I don't even consider them friends. They're family. Those are my brothers. And over the years, we were accountable for each other, you know, as far as if we saw one another getting ready to make a bad decision, we would pull each other's coattail. And, you know, we had enough respect for each other that, you know, you kind of step back from the situation and take heed to the advice that, you know, they're giving you. So I was very fortunate, and I was very fortunate to meet a couple of, not a couple, but a handful of mentors, you know, that I still talk to this day. So, you know, they had a tremendous part in helping me understand, you know, who I was as a person. Not only an athlete, I don't know how many of the guys saw what I put, you know, on the post on Facebook, but, you know, I definitely want to talk to you guys about, you know, understanding that sports doesn't define you, you know what I mean? Everybody has other talents. Everybody has other skills. Up to you and the people around you, though, to understand those skills and, you know, put yourself in position to use those skills, you know. And I was very fortunate that those people in my life helped me understand that, yeah, I was a great football player, but I was a lot more than a football player, you know, and I had other skills that I could take advantage of once my playing days stopped.
That's big. That is definitely big, because I think more kids need to hear that, you know, you're more than just what you do with shoulder pads and a helmet on. So, you know, that's fabulous that you had people really pouring into you that way. What high school did you end up going to? Where did you choose to play your high school ball?
Well, again, you know, sitting back as a young kid and watching some of the older kids that played in the Pop Warner organization I played in, and hearing, you know, hearing different things and seeing newspaper articles and knowing a couple other kids or guys that were, you know, quite a few years older than me having success at St. Francis, I chose to go to St. Francis. One of my mentors approached me, you know, in about the seventh or eighth grade, actually about the sixth grade, and asked me, you know, where did I want to go to high school? And I told her, you know, where I wanted to go, and she asked me, would I like to go to St. Francis? And because I didn't think at that time, you know, my family would be able to afford it, but I jumped on that opportunity, you know what I mean, because I knew the long and rich football history that St. Francis had, and everything fell into place, and you know, the rest is history.
Wow, that's a story in itself, and we'll definitely maybe have to get to that, you know, in another locker room edition. But talk to me about that decision to go to St. Francis. So you knew that you definitely wanted to play football when you got there?
Definitely. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a lot of success in my Pop Warner organization, and you know, I knew I wanted to continue to play football through high school and after high school, and I felt like St. Francis, you know, would, one, be a great opportunity for me to get a top-notch education, and two, be able to compete on the highest level in the Bay Area. You know, as a lot of people know, the West Catholic League is probably, not probably, it is the most competitive, you know, league in the Bay Area. And, you know, I relished at the thought to get a chance to play there, you know what I mean? Because like I said, many guys from East Palo Alto came from the same streets that I roamed and played in and went to St. Francis and were stars. So I wanted to carry on that tradition and push it even farther, you know.
I hear you. Did you play any other sports in high school?
Yes, I was lucky enough to play on the basketball team. We actually won a state title my sophomore year. I didn't play much, you know, when I moved up, but just to be a part of that experience is something that you'll remember forever. And, you know, we actually played against, I don't know if any of the kids will know, but I'm pretty sure you'll remember this guy. His name is Kenny Bruner. He went to Florida State. He went to Georgetown.
He
played with Tayshaun Prince, his brother Tommy, a kid named Jason. I forget Jason's name, but he played quarterback at Jason Thomas, I think his name
Jason
was.
Jason Thomas,
played quarterback at USC and then finished up at UNLV. So we played those guys my sophomore year, and going into the game, not many people gave us a shot to win, and we went out there and pretty much took it to them boys and brought the hat to them. So, you know, we took a state title home.
So you got love for hoops too, huh?
Yeah, you know, I've actually been coaching AAU basketball and high school basketball for the last, I'm going into my 13th year. So once I finished playing ball in Europe, I came back and been coaching basketball ever since.
That's fabulous. So, man, a lot of the younger kids that are on the call might not, you know, obviously they didn't get to see you play and may not have heard about you, but Charles ripped it up in high school at St. Francis High School, as he said. And I read up on you, man, and I knew you had a great senior year, but is this correct, over 2,000 yards rushing your senior year?
Yeah, that's correct. That record actually still stands at St. Francis. So, you know, it's quite an accomplishment. You know, when people hear 2,000 yards, you know, that's a eye opener. You know what I mean? Not many people, college, pro, little league, not many people rush for 2,000 yards. And you know, I feel very blessed to, you know, have been, you know, granted the athletic ability to pull that feat off, you know what I mean? And it's something that remember and have fond memories about.
Would you say, I mean, because 2,000 yards is no joke, but it's even more no joke when you talk about the league that you were in, the West Catholic Athletic League. And for those of you listening that might not be in California, the West Coast, the West Catholic Athletic League is the premier football league and probably sports league all around when you talk about Northern California. Guys like Tom Brady, you know, Barry Bonds, all kinds of guys have come out of the West Catholic Athletic League, and Charles is up there with the best of the best. So 2,000 yards in that league. When did you, I mean, as far as recruiting, were you getting calls off the hook, or did you think you were kind of underrated? How was that going?
Well, you know, given that I wasn't the biggest guy, the fastest guy, or anything like that, you know, a lot of schools shied away from me. I have no clue why, but I got a few calls, but it came down to two schools, to Hawaii and to Oklahoma State. And talking to people close to me, you know, that have some familiarity with Oklahoma State, they told me, you know, if they're not telling you you're going to be the guy, don't go there. You know what I mean? Because it's a long way from home. The running back at the time happened to be the head coach at Oklahoma State happened to be his son. And he had, I think, including my freshman year, so he would have been there my freshman year plus two additional years. So they were like, you know, if it's not right and they're not telling you you're going to be the man, don't go. You know, not that I was ever afraid of battling or fighting for a position, which I had to do everywhere, every stop I went. But, you know, there were certain elements to going that far away from home, and, you know, it just didn't seem like the right decision to make.
Definitely. Was there anybody that helped lead your decision to Hawaii? Was there a parent or a mentor?
No, not really. You know, my parents, you know, they supported whatever decision I made. You know, they were, I guess they felt like they had done a good enough job raising me that, you know, they felt that I would make a good, mature decision, you know. So, you know, they kind of left it up to me. And, you know, going into that decision, I looked at it as an opportunity to, of course, you know, establish some independence and, you know, prove that I could be, you know, my own man and mature and grow up and make good decisions and work out my own problems, which, you know, eventually arose. But, you know, I felt like going way out there where mom couldn't hop in the car and drive 3 hours and get to me, you know, I felt like that was big, I felt like that was big for my maturity, you know what I mean, as a man.
Definitely. I know you're aware of where college recruiting has gotten to. I mean, now, you know, it's a lot different than when we were coming out of high school. Now, you know, if you're a recruit or a player that was on your level, you know, you're on ESPN.com, you're on the recruiting shows, you're on scout.com. What's your opinion as far as that? And do you think a lot of these kids are prepared to take on recruiting in today's world?
That's a tough one, just because recruiting is so multiple right now, and there are so many different dimensions to it. I mean, coaches tweet and Facebook and text and email, and you know, you remember when we were in high school, the internet was something brand new, and you know,
you're gonna make us sound old, man.
I'm just telling the truth. And if the kids saw the cell phones that we had, you know, there was no internet capability, no texting. You know, those things looked like a shoe. You know what I mean? So I definitely think it's a different animal. You know what I mean? There's a lot more exposure. You know what I mean? And, I mean, with that said, you know, you in terms of recruiting and who sees what, you as a player, you as a recruit, have to be careful what you put on these social network sites, because that can deter coaches or scouts or whoever from going after you, because they see things as being a character flaw. You know what I mean? So you really have to watch how much of your personal business you expose. But to get back to the recruiting, you know, the kids these days, I don't see very much of, you know, having to do the stuff we did, which was send out a bunch of tapes and letters to schools to get them to come see you. You know, it seems like with the social media and the access to all of these ESPN and different scouting services, you know, that some of the coaches don't even have to actually come physically and visit you. They can pop, you know, look you up on the site and find 5, 6, 7 videos of you and make their judgments on who they want to recruit from that. So it's a whole different animal, man, and it's way more advanced than, you know, the process that we went through.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Let's get into once you got to Hawaii, man, because obviously, you had a great high school career, and we got guys on the line right now, Charles, that some of them are in high school and they're trying to get on the field. We got one kid in particular who just got to a college, you know, and he's trying to make his mark there. And you were somebody that was able to play as a freshman and have big-time early success. What do you attribute that to? What would you say helped you get on the field fast at Hawaii?
Well, I would say probably the number one thing was just being humble and coming in with my mindset on working and doing whatever I had to do to contribute to the team. You know, as a coming in as a true freshman, I had thoughts of, you know, coming in, and I used to tell my buddies this, you know, I just want to come in and contribute to the team. I want to probably be a third down back and return some kicks. Now, when I got in the fall camp and got out there and started mixing it up with the veterans and the guys returning, I found that I was the best running back we had. But still keeping in mind that I was a freshman, that I had to earn, you know, kind of make my bones, you know what I mean? I stayed humble and I worked, you know. I didn't do a whole lot of talking, you know. This subject is kind of, you know, fresh in the news with the whole Jonathan Martin, or I think that's his name, Jonathan Martin and Cognito thing in Miami. You know, I never bought in to the baiting that they tried to do to me. I just kept my mouth shut, went out there, strapped my pads on, and did what I needed to do to make an impression on the coaches. And after a while, it stopped because they respected me. You know what I mean? They saw that I was about business. You know what I mean? So I just kept my head down, worked hard in the weight room, studied my playbook, made sure I knew everything and what everybody on the offense was doing, and it paid off for me, you know. When the recruiter, and we may have to get into this a different time too, but the recruiter who actually recruited me to Hawaii used to come over from Stanford in the summers when I was a kid to the community center I grew up at in Menlo Park, and he ended up recruiting me 10, 12 years later. That's a crazy story, and like I said, we can get into that later. But when he came into and sat in my living room with me and my parents, he told me, he said, you can be starting by the fourth or fifth game. I was starting by the fourth game just because I went in and worked hard.
We literally only have a little over 2 minutes left. And like I told you guys before we got Charles on the line, this was going to be a dynamic call, so we definitely going to have to get Charles back so he can get through his whole testimony. And talk to me. I want to end it with what it was like to actually get on the field at a big-time college level and start ripping it up. I mean, you had 26 times that you rushed for 114 yards and two touchdowns versus Notre Dame as a true freshman. What was that like for you?
It was amazing, man. It was amazing. I still have people to this day talk to me about that game and seeing me on TV and the pride that they felt knowing that, you know, somebody representing their hometown and, you know, that they knew was out, you know, out there shining on a big level. And, you know, like I said, it was tremendous. That was the largest crowd I ever played in front of, 49,000, you know, It was amazing, man. You know the rich history that Notre Dame has, and to come within 1 point of beating them, and you know, literally we beat them up and down the field all day. You know, if it weren't for a missed extra point, we would have probably went into overtime and beat Notre Dame. You know what I mean? And like I said, to this day, I still, you know, I'm not a moral victory guy, but you know, those guys knew. Those guys knew we kicked their butt, you know what I mean? So, like I said, I just take that as, you know, a tremendous accomplishment to be able to have such success against a story program on national TV and have all my friends and family enjoy that moment with me, you know what I mean? So that was very special for me.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on tonight, man. We want to get you back probably within the next couple weeks so we can finish this. We're going to have a part two on this one because the story gets more juicy. But appreciate you all, man, and kiss that beautiful baby girl for us, and we'll talk to you later. All right, Charles?
All right, Terry, man. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.